Well, good afternoon to you. It's 3:05 p.m. It's Saturday. Saturday, April 7th. How is everybody doing? It's Ken Berman Podcast. I'm lying stomach down on a bed right now, resting my back. I finally got some sleep for the first time in like 7 days. Oh, it was nice. Back's feeling a little better. We are recovering. Anyway, let's talk about. Oh, let's talk about good bots. Good bots. Good bots. We need good bots. There's so many things we can do with bots. All right, so here's the personal story for the day. So, keeping an eye on my grandpa. Keeping an eye on the elderly. We have this aging population, and this is an issue for everyone's family. If you have decent genes and heredity in your lineage, you might have somebody old that you're related to. You might have somebody who's old with blood that is aging and is going to need help because our poor bodies, man, they just fall apart. Fall apart like old American-made vehicles, and they just pieces of them just stop working. Now, this is a huge economic area. I mean, you think about healthcare, you think about Medicare for the elderly, Medicaid for those that can't afford, or need assistance from the government. You think of all this is huge economy, and the reason is because we don't like to see people suffer, right? We don't like to see people unnecessarily be in pain when there's something that could be there to help them, right? That's what medical care is supposed to be. I look at my grandpa, and he's a 94-year-old guy, right? He doesn't know all the newest technology. He doesn't even understand what the doctor's telling him a lot of times, or really doesn't know what could make his life better. And little things like a walker, like getting impediments out of the walkway are huge things, right? So he had a fall last night in his bedroom, but I was here and I kind of saw it too. And I got over there quick and picked him up, and he was all right. And he tripped over one of his stupid freaking stupid slippers that are terrible, that he just tripped over it, right? And I keep trying to move stuff out of the way and really baby-proof the house. As people get older, they kind of turn into children in a lot of ways. They're tougher than children though, because the children are you're teaching them something and they automatically do something wrong, and then you try to teach them the right way. With older people, they know what's right, they know what's wrong, they don't want to give up their freedom. So you tell them to do something and they just nod and say yeah, and then go do whatever the hell they want to do, and they're all and so you really have to convince them of what they need and convince them to do the right thing. Otherwise, they are not doing it. In a lot of ways, similar to children, but a different way. And also, older people forget, whereas kids tend to remember with more reinforcement. Older people will tend to still forget, although my grandpa is still really sharp. So anyway, I was thinking about bots as he fell last night. I was thinking, well, afterward, he was, saying, oh, if you weren't here, what would I do? I can't get up. Well, if you were here, and of course, it's a cause for anxiety for him because he realizes that he's truly dependent on another individual inside the home to assist him because he's going to have these falls, right? And these things are going to happen. Now, I was thinking about, well, what if I need to go do something and I can't be around? Is there anything I can do other than have like a monitoring device in the house, which would be able to watch him and I can check in on that? Is there anything, how would I be able to get him up if I'm not in the house? And this is how I think. I always think about we should be all living in the future and everything should be done for us automatically. It's 2018, baby. Back in 1984, 1989, when you were thinking about Star Trek episodes, I'm sure we all thought in 2018 that we all would be just levitating on our flying porn cars or whatever we would be doing. I'm sure we thought that that's where we'd be in 2018. We're not totally there, but a lot of things have progressed. So I'm thinking, well, how can I solve this problem not being at home? And I was thinking about the robot that I would want to, that you would need to do this. And this is kind of what I came up with was, and there's also something else I want to talk about in this pod, but I'll just go over the robot real quick. Okay, imagine like a little circular coffee table, right? About the width of a, or a, the circumference of a human body if you didn't really spread your arms out. Just imagine a Star Trek being teleported. Remember the little teleport pads in Star Trek? a circular pad, or about that size of a coffee table, okay? And imagine that it has wheels on the bottom, moves around, right? And its structure is one of, like, extending levers and or extending arms and things like that. So what it can do is it can operate and it can kind of shape-shift and look somewhat like a forklift if it needs to lift something up, or it can look like a flat table if it simply needs to look like a table and you put something on it. It can also have a screen part of that flat table that you can use to interface with and could simulate a human screen. So I'm not really talking about an android or humanoid type robot. I'm talking about a table with extendable arms, the arms that like shoot out through that. You know, the way they drill for oil is they have like an extended straw inside a straw inside a straw to dig down into the earth. You can have the same type of structure to extend out arms or appendages essentially from a robot. So if this thing could roll around and have a camera on it, if he were to fall down, it would have a setting where the extendable arms come out and essentially lift you up, like a forklift style, and get you back up. It would actually be a thing. And it could do it whether you're on your back or whether you're on your front. It could have different programs for the way that the arms extend out and essentially pick you up and get you back upright. Because you're looking at a situation. Hold on, we got a grandpa call here. Hold on, let's have him join the pod. What's that?
Mets
started scoring. 2-2, good. Good, we got the Mets. I tend to keep him busy by having him make small, tiny bets on baseball games. You know, I saw an article. The world's oldest man did an interview or something, and they said, "What's kept you alive so long?" And he said, "He pays too much attention to petty grievances." He's the best line ever. But there's got to be truth to that, which is if you care too much about little shit, then you tend to be alive longer because you care about being alive. You care to rub it in someone's face. He's probably that guy that, you know, that every day, you know, he stole his neighbor's paper because his neighbor took his paper one day in 1978. Whatever it is, that keeps you alive. I can see how crusty old grittiness keeps you alive. Also, cursing keeps you alive. The body loves cursing. You curse, it's like releasing endorphins. If you step on a nail, curse. Just start throwing out F-bombs all day long because you will feel better. There's another article I read about that I totally believe is true. Anyway, back to bots. So there are bots that could roll around the house. I bet you they could vacuum too, man. That's the thing. You got multi-purpose robots that are going to be doing all these different things. So yeah, you need a camera, you need a thing. It doesn't have to be a person, but it needs to be able to pick people up. It needs to be, it would be awesome if it dished out medication so that it knows when you took your medication. That's another problem with the old folks. That is a huge one because when you're not all there with your faculties, how do you know that you took all of your 18 pills in order today? Oh God. So anyway, I see a bot future for this. We need to have bots working for the best of us. Now, in the meantime, let's talk about the present. I talk about the future too much. How about the present? So in the meantime, that bot is not available yet that I know of, and I don't have the money to buy it either. Now, so in the meantime, what do we do with an aging population? What do we do if we are Japan? And there's two adults for every kid. I don't know if that's the exact number, but let's say that. And they keep aging. Well, first of all, we want our younger generations to be productive in the workforce and out and about, and we don't really want them here waiting on our elderly hand and foot, especially in a scenario where you have, you know, you're caring for elderly people who do not want to lose their independence. So it is a battle to get them to be safe for themselves. I mean, my grandpa still wants to drive. You know, he still wants to get around without a walker, things like that. He doesn't want to submit to calling it quits on life, and he views using those aids that he has seen other old people go through in the path toward the ground is something he doesn't want to give up on life yet, right? But he needs to understand that, or at least I try to help him understand that if you want to live a healthier, productive, meaningful, valuable life while you are alive, then you need to use the tools that are available. Otherwise, you will find yourself being in more pain and not enjoying it as much. And that's something that a robot is going to be difficult to, actually not necessarily difficult for robots to teach a person what's available and how to use it. Especially it'd be easier for a robot to perpetually reinforce that. Although I could see it would get annoying if you have a robot that keeps telling you to do something and you don't want to do it. Oh boy, problems of the future. Anyway, right now, I'm taking care of my grandpa and I enjoy it because he's a good guy. And I almost did this pod last night and I wanted to do a long, 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 long time ago. One of my loyal podcast listeners will remember this. I did a pod years ago about what was called the emotional bank account. And the emotional bank account was, you know, just an analogy for saying that oftentimes the way that you are towards other people in the world is a product of the accumulation of goodwill or bad will you received as parenting while growing up or communication with other people while growing up and throughout your life. So like if you were constantly assaulted or beat up as a kid, you may be more violent and more difficult to be with it when you're older, right? That's just a basic assessment. But if you've had a lot of what you seem to be as good fortune or healthy, positive relationships with people all growing up, that is going to lead you to be a better person. Now, I don't know if that can't possibly be accurate all the way through, but I think that in general, we are a product of our interactions with others and our being raised. You can say, oh, these people are good parents or bad parents, and person ends up a little differently sometimes, right? So this emotional bank account was an idea, and I thought, well, here's the other end of that emotional bank account instead of the growing up part, which is, how do other people feel about your interactions with them throughout your life? And what kind of nest egg of emotional support have you accumulated over your life that you don't necessarily draw from it later in life, but it's there and people recognize it? And here's what I mean by that. So my grandpa's 94, right? People come down here to see him all the time. And he's outlived everybody in his generation, and it's all people from the generation below at this point, or further below that. And a lot of people come to see him because he is, and he doesn't have enemies. Everybody loves him too. Everybody loves him, and he's just always been that way. And I thought that's just a product of the way he's been his whole life. And people want to be with him and want to see him and want to help him, as do I, which makes it a simple decision to be here helping. I wouldn't see it any other way. I wouldn't want to be with a non-family member or, you know, alone. And he was very appreciative when I was here to pick him up last night because, you know, he made it so, and I could see, of course, that makes sense. Now, I am glad to be here. I don't resent it whatsoever. I can think of other people, family members even, that I would never, ever, be happy taking care of them for an extended period of time as they aged and needed help. I would want to strangle myself or strangle them. And it made me think of, well, what kind of person do you want to be when you're older? And you think about people who don't have others and you wonder if it's somewhat their fault. I know it's a terrible way to think about things, but you know, 50 years from now, will somebody come for me? It'll be a different world 50 years from now. And I'll either be immortal or dead by that point. And so I don't know, but I'm happy to be here. And it made me realize that I want to be someone who others would want to be happy helping when I was old and pissing myself. So just something to think about, the other end, the emotional nest egg that you accumulate over life and whether or not, you're happy with that. You're happy with your stance in that. Something to think about. Okay, so bots, not really going to get too politically. I haven't been paying too much attention, but I just haven't paid too much attention. Oh, what else? Work back. Oh, hockey. I'm going to the Panthers-Buffalo game tonight, seeing old friends, you know, but I'm not leaving too long because I don't have any monitoring here. I got to get a camera, got to hook up a phone, got internet. You got to keep an eye on people. Because it's 2018 and we should all be doing that. So we're going to cut a little shorter, 17 minutes today, because I have some work to do. Let's get our minutes out.